It's off me.
Yeah.
Okay. Shabbat shalom, everybody. Let's pray. Abba and Elohim of our Father, we ask that your word and only your word would come forth today, that only your will for people's lives be shown to them, Father. Lord, that people would hear what you want them to hear and only what you want them to hear, Father God, that you would hide anything else that's not from you or that's not appropriate for them at this time. We ask that your will and your purposes be fulfilled in our lives, Father God, that we be created and made into your image. We walk in your ways, be obedient to you, Father. In this way, we bring glory to you as your creations. Blessed be your holy name. Amen. Amen. Okay, this parasha is made up of 5,357 Hebrew letters, 1,455 Hebrew words. 104 verses can occupy 178 lines in a Torah scroll. This parasha happens in Bamidbar, in the wilderness, and it happens towards the end of the wilderness journeys. One of the things we notice throughout Bamidbar, there are a lot of plagues and there's a lot of discipline that Yah does on his people. He seems to be one after the sin and discipline. We get to the point where we have this wonderful story of Balaam and Balak, where we can see where Yah has actually protected Israel from an unknown threat. And one of the things we can take comfort of in our lives is that Yah protects us from unknown threats from any direction. Even though he does put us through difficult times, yeah, laugh, yep. You know what I'm talking about. Difficult times to discipline us, to try us, to teach us, and even to punish us when we step out of line, as a good parent does. He still protects us from those who want to attack and destroy us, and he protects us from every direction. I mean, Balaam and Balak went up on how many different mountains? Three different mountains to try and curse Israel, to bring in different directions, tried all different directions. And look, I know in my workplace and in places where you live and in social places, people who are of an opposing religious ideology will try and come at you and will try and destroy your witness from any number of different ways. And we just have to trust in Yah, because he's the one who protects us. As long as we're being obedient to him, as long as we're in his will and doing what's right in his sight, he'll surround us and protect us. And nobody can speak a word against us without his permission. Yeah? I take great comfort in that, because after being in the war zone quite a few times with people.
Literally.
He is. Yeah. And look, and we know that in Yeshua's life. Yeshua himself spoke in a synagogue once and they took him out to stone him. And he just turned around and walked through the crowd. No one could touch him. Yah's in control. He can stop people doing what's right in front of them. We know that the prophet Elijah was in a city and an entire army came to kill him, surrounded the city. And he just walked out and said, "You're in the wrong place, guys. Follow me." Oh, okay. And they followed him right into an ambush. Yah's in complete control. He has total control over everything. The enemy, nothing the enemy does escapes his view. Nothing our human enemies or even spiritual enemies do escape his view. He can see it all. At times he will use it to improve us. And at times he will stop it completely before we even know about it. Mm-hmm. Amen. Yah keeps his word to us. Okay. I want to talk about the king and the false prophet in this one. Balak, his name, Bet Lamed Kuf, literally means devastator. Okay? To devastate, yep. I guess that sounded like a scary name to call himself as a king or something, I don't know. Okay? The Moabites were descendants of Lot, they were Abraham's nephew. He's regarded as somewhat related to Israel and also a people who are under God's blessing, under his grace. Okay? Moab was not on Yah's list of nations for Israel to destroy. On the contrary, Yah intended for Moab to join in the blessing of Israel as their father had blessing that he shared with Abraham. In Bereshit 12:22, it says, put the scripture up, please. Okay. I will make you a great nation. I will bless you and I'll make your name great, and you are to be a blessing. I'll bless those who bless you and I'll curse anyone who curses you. By the way, the two Hebrew words for curses here are two different words. Did you know that?
Yeah.
Unfortunately, I'm just saying this now. I haven't written it down, so I haven't got the words, but I'll find it out for you and let you know. I will bless those who bless you and curse those who curse you. Those who curse you, this word is very light, as in somebody punching you in the arm. Curse anyone who curses you. The curse for them is like hitting them with a sledgehammer. You understand the difference? Yeah? So it's not a thing. He'll go after them, big time. Okay. Where are we? I make your name great. I'll bless those who bless you. And so Abraham went, and Adonai had said to him, and Lot went with him. And Abraham was 75 years old when he left Haran. And in 2 Peter 2:6 we read, you want to put the next one up, please? Yep. And he condemned the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah, reduced them to ashes and ruin, as a warning to those in the future who would live ungodly lives. But he rescued Lot, a righteous man who was distressed by the debauchery of those unprincipled people. Now, Yah extends grace to the children of righteous people. We've talked about this before. And people who love him to the thousandth generation. The expression of love to God is, how do you express your love for God? What? Doing what he says. Obedience. That's right. Well, that is an act of worship, isn't it? Yeah, you acknowledge Yah as Yah by doing what he says, because he's the boss. Is that right? Yeah. Okay. Exodus 20 verse 5 says, you not bow down or serve them, for I, Adonai your God, am a jealous God, punishing the children and the sins of the parents to the third and fourth generation of those who hate me, have absolutely no regard for me. Okay? But displaying grace to the thousandth generation of those who love me and obey my mitzvot. Yeah. So Lot, who obeyed Yah, was part of Abraham's camp. He and his children had that grace. Okay? Lot made atonement for his children by his obedience to Yah. Does that make sense to everybody? Okay. His life of obedience to Yah gives his children that privilege of being in Yah's grace. Yes? Same as we get the privilege of being in Yah's grace because Yeshua was obedient to Yah. It was his life of absolute obedience to the Father that gives us atonement. Yes? Yeah. Because he kept his word. Okay. See, I had no intention of doing Moab harm. However, we know that Yah, if you sin, if you turn away from Yah, if you turn away from his, he will forget the good he intended for you. Yes? And he will carry out punishment for sins. Same as a person who has destined for destruction because of their life of sin, turn and repents, he will forget the punishment he intended for them and welcome them with open arms back as a son. Yes? Okay. Now I want to talk about Balaam. Balaam is a really interesting guy because he's an archetype. He is, what do we call him these days? Not a meme. Huh? What? He's a type, yeah. I wouldn't call him a stereotype. Typology. He's one or the other. He's a type.
Typology.
He's a... I can't remember what the modern version of it is anyway. He is a false prophet. He's a classic false prophet. So talked about in the New Testament as a false prophet. Okay. When we think of false prophets, two things usually come to people's minds. That is, a con man scamming people, and two, demonically empowered individuals who have power over people who have no understanding of the truth. And we think of the beast mentioned in Revelation. Is that the two people you think of when you think of false prophets? Yeah, con man or, you know. Revelation 6:13. And I saw three unclean spirits like frogs come out of the mouth of the dragon and out of the mouth of the beast and out of the mouth of the false prophet. Okay? Why are they frogs? Anyone know? Yeah.
You said last year, sure.
So, yeah, I know. You what?
Because of their tongue.
Yeah, it's because of their tongue, because frogs hunt with their tongues. They catch their prey with their tongues. So a false prophet, they're lying spirits that come out of their mouth. So it's a what do they call it, a meme? A picture that paints words?
Yep.
Okay. Yeah, where we go? Okay. And the third is here. The third one I want to talk about, the false prophet, is what Balaam represents, okay? Balaam literally means not from my people, okay? Literally, his name means not from my people, not my people, okay? Balaam, son of Beor, literally means burning, okay? Also burning, not for my people, and a Beor means burning, okay? Balaam was a Gentile prophet at the beginning of the Torah account, and it's quite clear that he's obedient to Yah, for a start. He consults Yah, okay? And in Numbers 22, verse 7, it says, and the leaders of Moab and Midian left, taking with themselves a payment. Dividing it, came to Balaam and spoke to him in the words of Balak, and he said to them, stay tonight and I'll bring back to you whatever answer Yud-Heh-Vav-Heh tells me. So the prince of Moab stayed with Balaam. Moses is very clear. He's letting him know that he is not just singing it out there to whatever spirit. He knows who he's talking to. He's directly talking to Jehovah. Okay? This is not some guy just playing silly games. He knows who he's got to talk to about Israel. Okay? Okay. Now, Numbers 22, verse 9. Next one. And Yah came to Balaam and said to him, who are these men with you? And Balaam said to Jehovah, Balak, the son of Zippor, king of Moab, has sent me this message. The people who came out of Egypt have spread over the land. Now come and curse them for me, and maybe I will be able to fight against them and drive them out. And Jehovah answered to Balaam, you are not to go with him because you are not to curse the people because they are blessed. Next one. Now Balaam got up in the morning and said, the princes of Balak, return to your own land because Adonai refuses to give me permission to go with you. The princes of Moab got up and returned to Balak and said, Balaam refuses to come with us. We can see straight away that he's obedient to Yah. We can speculate on this, but he knows who he's dealing with. He knows not to step out of line here. So he's told him to go home. I'm not doing it. Okay? And what you may not know is that in this area where this man's living at the time, there was a school devoted to study into spiritual things. Okay? From what I know of the archaeology in the area, there were lots of different things they studied. But, okay? Initially, sorry.
What did they study?
Yes. Sorry?
What did they study?
Spiritual things.
Oh, okay.
Okay, supernatural.
Yeah.
Okay. Okay. He was indeed obedient at this stage to Yah's word to him. We can see that as things progressed, though, his greed started blinding him to the truth. His pride in his own spiritual prowess became groundless because a donkey had greater spiritual insight than he did. Okay? If you're focused on something other than Yah, you quite often can't see the warning signs he gives you when he wants you to change direction. Yes? Okay. Matthew 4, verse 18. Next one. Others are sown amongst thorns. They hear the message, but the worries of the world and deceitfulness of glamour and wealth and of all kinds of desires push in and choke the message. It produces nothing. The word of God's purpose is to produce the image of Yah in flesh. Yes? The reason we keep the Torah is because the Torah sanctifies us and transforms us into his likeness. It says in about Yeshua that in John chapter 1 that he is the Word, and the Word that was made flesh. So he is the person we are meant to be made in the image of, correct? So the purpose of the Torah, and he was obedient to all of his father's instructions, which are the Torah. Therefore, we should be also obedient to his instructions, the Torah. Balaam blew it. We look at his life and he put himself before the word of Yah. He committed idolatry. Yes? He wanted what the king offered him. Did you know that? I'm going to tell you something a little bit off as well. Do you know that before World War II, there was a movement called the eugenics movement throughout the world? Has anyone heard of it? No. Eugenics movement throughout the world was a movement towards making a master race through breeding human beings. Yeah, you've heard of that? It's because Hitler actually took that, ran with it, and then we had the Holocaust. Yeah. The eugenics movement, one of the main leaders of the eugenics movement was a feminist by the name of Margaret Sanger. Yeah. And do you know how she got people to cooperate with her? She paid some African-American ministers to put eugenics in their sermons so that people didn't know that her purpose was to exterminate African-Americans in the United States. Did you know that? Did you know that Planned Parenthood was started by this particular woman in the United States, and they specifically target African American and minority group communities, and that now, if you are an African American baby conceived in the United States, you have a 1 in 2 chance of being born. The other chance is being aborted. This is the result. And to date, there have been more than 26 million children murdered under this scheme, all because these men didn't stand against this and they sold out for money. Interesting, isn't it? Who knew that? No. If you want to know, I'll send you the link to it. I'll send you the link to it. Okay. False prophets. The way. Balaam has a spirit of prophecy Yah places on a person that belongs to Yah. Okay. Genesis 41 verse 15. Pharaoh said to Joseph, "I have a dream. There is no one who can interpret it, but I have heard it said about you that what you hear in a dream you can interpret." And Joseph said to Pharaoh, "It isn't me." Yah gives Pharaoh an answer, and he sets his mind at peace. One of the things people forget is that any spiritual insight Yah gives is his. It's not the person who gives it. So if you hear something in a Darashim that speaks to you, doesn't come from me, or Tamar, or anyone else speaking, it comes from Yah if he speaks to you. I've even sat down and somebody said, "I really liked it when you said such and such." And I said, "I didn't say that. It wasn't me speaking to you." Okay? So if you get something from Yah, you praise him. not the human being, because the human being just does what they're told or supposed to. Okay? In the Ketuvah HaShelekim identifies three fruits of Balaam: the error of Balaam, the way of Balaam, and the teaching of Balaam. Okay? Error of Balaam. Yep. Jude, you want to pop that up? Yep, okay. However, these people insult anything they don't understand. And what they do understand naturally without thinking, like animals, by these things they are destroyed. Woe to them that they have walked the road of Cain. They have given themselves over to for money to the error of Balaam. They have become destroyed in the rebellion of Korah. These are men are filthy spots in your festive gatherings. Meant to foster love, they share your meals without qualm, while caring only for themselves. They are waterless cloud carried along by the winds, trees without fruit, even in autumn, and doubly dead because they have been uprooted. Next one. Savage sea waves heaving for their shameful deeds like foam, wandering stars from whom the blackest darkness has been reserved forever. Moreover, Hanoch, in the seventh generation starting with Adam, also prophesied about these men. Look, Adonai came with his myriads of holy ones to execute judgment against everyone, that is, to convict all the godless for the godless deeds which they have done in such a godless way and for the harsh words these godless sinners have spoken against him. Okay. Next one. Okay. To execute judgment, these people are grumblers and complainers. They follow their evil passions, their mouths speak grandioses, they flatter others to gain advantage. But you, dear friends, keep in mind the words spoken in advance by the emissaries of our Lord the Messiah. This is a spiritual arrogance and pride that makes you think you're above reproach. The Yah must do whatever you want, not the other way around. You know, you've heard people will preach it, name it and claim it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Awful. Yep. Absolutely. Regardless of his prior instructions, they're stepping into Torahless conduct. You know, Yah even tested his disciples. Even after he ascended, he tested them. He had a vision. Peter had a vision of this sheet coming down from heaven with all kinds of animals in it. Take, eat. What kind of unclean animals? And he said, no. 3 times it happened. No. And he said, well, then don't call unclean. And yet somehow I've heard Christian ministers twist that around and say, see, you're allowed to eat them now. Peter didn't think so.
We're going to read a little bit further.
Peter didn't say it was okay. Yah tests his people to see if they're obedient to him. The way of Balaam. Do you want to put that next one up? So their eyes always looking out for a woman who will commit adultery. Eyes that never stop sinning. They have a heart that has exercised itself in greed. So they will seduce unstable people. What a cursed brood. These people have left a straight way and wandered off to follow the way of Balaam ben Beor, and have loved the wages of doing iniquity. But was rebuked for his sin, a dumb beast of burden, spoke out in a human voice and restrained the prophet's insanity. By the way, iniquity is intentional sin. Okay? In Hebrew we have three kinds of sin. Chatat, unintentional sin, where I've just through ignorance have violated one of Yah's commandments. Or I got mixed up on the calendar date and missed a day and I didn't intend to. I intended to keep his commandments, but I made an error. There's intentional sin where you have sinned against Yah You knew what you were doing. You were swept away by your passions or your thinking or your anger at the time, and you stepped out of line and you said or did something you shouldn't have done that you knew you shouldn't have done at the time, at the back of your head saying, don't do this, don't do this, don't do this, but you did it anyway. And then there's pesha, which is a deliberate act of rebellion against the Most High that you've done calmly, collectively, and its purpose is to destroy the faith of someone else, the walk of someone else with God. Yes? Pesha. Yeah, just that's a good enough transliteration. Peter 2:16. The angel Adonai said to him, what? Oh, where are I?
No, we've been there.
2 Peter. Yep.
We've done 2 Peter.
Have we? Oh, we just read it. Sorry. And the Numbers 22:32, sorry. The angel Adonai said to him, why did you hit your donkey 3 times like that? I've come out to bar your way because you rushed to oppose me. Okay? He knew what he was doing. Yah became angry when he left. Does anyone think that was funny when we read that? That Yah said, okay, go with him, but do what I tell you to do. And then he got angry because he went to do it. Why he got angry because he went to do it? Because he went, but he wasn't going to do what Yah says. He knew the thoughts of his heart. Why did you hit your donkey 3 times like that? I've come out here to bar your way because you're rushing to oppose me. The donkey saw me and turned aside these 3 times. And indeed, if she hadn't turned away from me, it would have killed you by now and saved it alive. Yah stood against him and on threat of losing his life, restrained the false prophet. Balaam said to the angel of Jehovah, I have sinned. I did not know that you were standing in the road to block me. Now, therefore, if what I'm doing displeases you, I will go back. And the angel of Jehovah said to Balaam, no, go with the men, but you are to say only what I tell you to say. So Balaam went along with the princes of Balak. This puts me in mind of the words of Cain. Yah tried to intervene in the situation and prevent him doing what he was going to do, what was in his heart to do. He wanted to move him back from a path of disobedience, a path of arrogance, and a path of hatred to a path of peace, a path of humble trusting and obedience to Yah and accepting his ruling and his determination on things. Yes? So many different ideologies will not accept Yah's determination on things. It's got to be this way, because that way it's equality. No, it doesn't. Yah decides this or that. We don't do that. We aren't him. That's what the serpent said to the woman in the garden, didn't he? Don't you know you'll be as God? Knowing, deciding good from evil? Huh? Yah wants us to be in submission to his will and obedient to his instructions. And we know what happened to Cain when we're disobedient, when we go after things on our own. Numbers 2, 4 and 1. 24 and 1, sorry. When Balaam saw that it pleased Jehovah to bless Israel, he didn't go as the other times to make use of divination, but looked out towards the desert. And Balaam raised his eyes and saw Israel and encamped tribe by tribe. And then the Spirit of God came upon him. Now all the other ones Yah had spoken and given him a word to him. This time is different. This time he took control of him. Okay? You know, I've heard it said that people, Yah will never take control of you beyond your will. Yeah, he can. he can actually take control of people. Yep. Absolutely, and he says he does it here. Yah's will made him subject to Yah, okay? To Yah's pronounced word. He had no choice but to utter exactly what Yah wanted him to say. the teaching of Balaam. Okay? The third one, the Pesha, the teaching of Balaam. Nevertheless, I have a few things to say against you. You have come, some people who hold to the teaching of Balaam, who taught Balak to set a trap for the people of Israel so that they would eat the food being sacrificed to idols and commit sexual sin. Balaam continued to plot against Israel and succeeded in using the women of Moab to seduce the men of the camp at Baal Peor in Bar Midbar. And we read about this at the end of the parasha. If you want to put that up, please. And Israel stayed in Shittim there, and the people began whoring with the women of Moab. And these women invited the people to the sacrifices of their god, and where the people ate and bowed to their gods. With Israel thus joined to Baal Peor, the anger of Adonai blazed up against Israel. Adonai said to Moshe, take all the chiefs of the people and hang them facing the sun before Adonai, so that the raging fury of Adonai will be turned away from Israel. Next one. Moshe said to the judges of Israel, each of you is to put to death those in his tribe who have joined themselves to Baal Peor. Just then, in the sight of Moshe and the whole community of Israel, as they were weeping at the entrance of the tent of meeting, a man from Israel came by bringing his family, a woman from Midian. When Pinchas, the son of Eleazar, the son of Aaron, the Kohen, saw it, he got up from the middle of the crowd and took a spear in his hand and pursued the man from Israel right into the inner part of the tent, where he thrust his spear through both of them, the man from Israel and the woman through her stomach. This was the plague amongst the people. This was the plague among the people of Israel stopped. Nevertheless, 24,000 people died in the plague. Now, one of the things you've got to notice about this is you just can't walk past the tabernacle in the sight of the people there. You have to intentionally do that, because surrounding the tabernacle is the camp of the Levites, and they protected. Nobody was allowed to approach without permission. They rigorously checked you to make sure you were ritually clean before you could come near it. And this guy forced his way through and walked past the tabernacle in order to show contempt for the Most High and for all the people of Israel who were dying from the plague because of this man and other men's sin. Yes? So he followed him out and put him to death. In Numbers 20:31-2, on behalf of the people of Israel, take vengeance on Midian. After that, you will be gathered to your people. Moshe said to the people, equip men from amongst yourselves for war. They are to go and fight Midian in order to carry out Jehovah's vengeance on Midian. Numbers 31:9, next one. The people of Israel took captive the women of Midian and their little ones, and they took as booty all their cattle, flocks and other goods, and they set fire to their cities in the area where they lived in their camps. They took all the booty and all the people and all the animals they captured, and they brought the captives and booty and spoil to Moshe and Eleazar the Kohen and the community of Israel in the camp of the plains of Moab by the Arden across from Jericho. Next one. But Moshe was angry with the army officers and commanders of the thousands, because the commanders of hundreds and coming from the battlefield. Moshe asked them, you let the women live? These are the ones who became, because of Balaam's advice, caused the people of Israel to rebel, breaking face with Adonai, with Jehovah, in the Peor incident, so that the plague broke out against Adonai's community, against Jehovah's community. Next one. Okay. Balaam was a man who taught these people to destroy, to lead Israel into idolatry, to break it down, to get people to do the wrong thing. Now, we've had people come here in order to try and destroy our walk with Yah and to lead people into idolatry. I remember we had a confrontation with a woman. You remember her? Yes. Who came in here and said, oh, you shouldn't be learning Hebrew. I'll tell you what to believe. Very arrogant. Yes. People do that. I'm not going to name ideologies. I've partially mentioned one already. But I'm not going to name ideology. If you want to ask me more about them afterwards, I'll tell you some of the main ones that are functioning in the world at the moment. But yes. We'll move on to the next one. False prophets will arise. Matthew 24, verse 11. Many false prophets will appear and fool many people, and many people's love will grow cold because of increased distance from the Torah. Okay? Deuteronomy 13, verse 1 says, if a prophet or a dreamer rises amongst you and gives you a sign or wonder, and the sign or wonder he tells you comes to pass, and if he says, let's go after other gods which you have not known, and let us serve them, you should not listen to the words of that prophet or dreamer. Dreams, for the Lord your God is testing you to know whether you love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul.
The Shema.
This is what Peter knew when he had that vision with the sheep coming down with all the animals. I don't care what the vision says. I know the Torah says not to eat that, so I don't. Okay? I don't care what the person who has the amazing power says. Yah's word says don't. I don't. It doesn't matter what awesome miracle this person performs. I don't care. What Yah says is it. Yah wants to test us and see whether we love him or not. Does it make sense? Because he expresses himself through his word. His mitzvot draw us closer to him. His what cleanses us from unrighteousness. Next one. You shall walk after the Lord your God and fear him and keep his commandments and obey his voice, and you shall serve him and hold fast to him. But that prophet or dreamer of dreams shall be put to death, because he has taught rebellion against the Lord, Jehovah your Elohim, who brought you out of the land of Egypt and redeemed you from the house of slavery to make you leave the way in which Jehovah your Elohim has commanded you to walk. You shall purge that evil from your midst. If Christianity says that Yeshua did away with the Torah and established another religion, can you put that back up, please? Then Israel was quite right in having him executed, because he was a sinner of the highest magnitude, a teacher after Balaam. But Yeshua himself said in Matthew 5, 17, 18, and 19, I did not come to do away with the Torah. Not one yod or smaller stroke of the pen would be done away with until heaven and earth pass away. As a matter of fact, anybody who teaches their children this is done away will be considered least in the kingdom of heaven. But anyone who keeps the least of my commandments will be considered great, because you love God so much you want to be careful to keep all of his word. Yeah. Next one. Beware of false prophets, for they come to you wearing sheep's clothing, but underneath they're hungry wolves. You will recognize them by their fruit. Can people pick grapes from thorn bushes, or figs from thistles? Likewise, every healthy tree produces good fruit, but poor tree produces bad fruit. A healthy tree cannot bear bad fruit, nor a poor tree good fruit. Next one. Or any tree that does not produce good fruit is cut down and thrown into fire. So you will recognize them by their fruit. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven. Only those who do what my Father in heaven wants. On that day, many will say to me, Lord, Lord, didn't we prophesy in your name? Didn't we expel demons in your name? Didn't we perform many miracles in your name? Then I will tell them to their faces, I don't know you. Get away from me, you workers of lawlessness.
Torahlessness.
Yeah. The mark of a false prophet is the rejection of Yah's instructions, the error of Balaam, the way of Balaam, and the teaching of Balaam. When Yeshua was asked how we might gain eternal life, what was his first answer? A man approached Yeshua and said, Rabbi, what good thing should I do in order to have eternal life? He said to him, why are you asking me about good? There is only one that is good. dealing with pride or the error of Balaam. Okay? This guy obviously thought he was good. But if you want to obtain eternal life, observe the mitzvot. The man asked him, which ones? And Yeshua said, don't murder, don't commit adultery, don't steal, don't give false testimony, honor your father and mother, and love your neighbor as yourself. Wasn't that interesting? Does it say, believe in me?
Nope.
No? Because he is those things. Yes? Next. The young man said to him, well, I've kept all these. Do I still fall short? Yeshua said to him, if you're serious about reaching the goal, go and sell your possessions and give to the poor and you'll have riches in heaven, then come and follow me. But then the young man heard this, he went away sad because he was very wealthy. Okay. Devarim, chapter 15, verse 5 to 11. If you only listen carefully what Yehovah your God says and take care to obey all his mitzvot I'm giving you today.
Mitzvot?
Yes. Mitzvot?
Commandments.
Commandments. It's the same thing, isn't it? I'm giving you today. Yes, Yehovah your Elohim will bless you as he promised you. You will lend money to many nations without having to borrow. You will rule over many nations without them ruling over you. If someone among you is needy, one of your brothers in any of your towns, in your land where Yehovah your Elohim is giving you. You are not to harden your heart or shut up your hand from giving to the needy brother. Now you must open your hand to him and lend to him enough to meet his need and enable him to obtain what he wants. Yah desires us not only to be a people who are obedient to him to keep his word, but who are generous and caring and who love our neighbour as ourselves. That's not love our neighbour above ourselves, not love ourselves above our neighbour, but to have an equality of love. If I have two, offer one to the guy next door. That doesn't mean give away the one you've got. And that doesn't mean give away your children's food either. Does that make sense to everybody? Because Yeshua said, if you love me, you will obey my commandments. And before Abraham was, Yeshua is. And Yeshua said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but by me.
Amen.
Yeah? That was from the beginning, not just from when he was incarnate. He is the living word of God, the Torah. No one comes to the Father except through him. Does that make sense to everybody? Yeah. So it goes backwards in time as well as forwards in time, because Christians seem to go, that's just, yeah, no. Both ways.
Amen.
Okay? Because Yeshua had the name of Yah, according to Moshe, the name of Yah was in him, which means Yah was in him. Does that make sense to everybody? Okay? All right. Any questions? Yes?
Yes, I have. You mentioned, I saw something written before in Matthew 24, verse 12.
Yep.
And before the iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. But you have added, and they walked away from the Torah.
Yes.
Where did that come from?
We use the Complete Jewish Bible in that one.
Oh, okay.
Now, that's correct. It's the same. Because their iniquity, their intentional sin has increased.
Yeah.
That is, they walked away from the Torah. And if you're intentionally sinning against God, you've rejected the Torah and you've chosen to do something else.
Mm.
Yes.
Great. Now, because I'm going to do away with this. I'm just waiting for my Jewish Bible.
Okay.
But I picked it before and I went, gee, that's not even King James.
Yes.
No.
No. Yep, yep.
Doesn't the word iniquity appear in Isaiah 53 that Christ suffered to take away?
Iniquities. That's correct. Well, iniquity is, I'm not sure if it's English. Sorry? Our iniquities, no, our intentional sin, because there's another verse Paul talks about Yeshua's sacrifice atoning, Yeshua's life atoning for more than what the covenant of Moshe could. Because the covenant of Moshe only atoned for unintentional sins, whereas Yeshua's could atone for intentional. Okay? Does that make sense? All right.
That's if you repent.
That's if you repent. If there's no repentance, there's no atonement.
You can't say forgive me.
What
if you don't know anything about the Torah, like all those first five books?
Well, my dear, when Yah rescued all of Israel from Egypt, and they knew nothing about the Torah. It wasn't until they got the mountain and he taught them. So part of your walk is learning. Yeah. Well, you read it, you study it. If you come here, we'll as we go through the yearly cycle and we go through portion by portion throughout the Torah. And that's why we have the message here, because we explain the meaning of it. There are some really wonderful websites that have some really wonderful teaching on it too. If you ask, we'll share them with you and you can listen to them in your own time. There's audio stuff online that's free. Yeah. I understand. A lot of us here have. Yes.